scat in eschatology. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
All right, folks, moving along, running out of time very quickly here on the show. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca, and we're actually on Real Radio in Southern Ontario, all of the frozen Great White North. Man, has it been cold lately. But warming up today, I was going to bust out the Speedo. That's how warm it's getting. This former USA's breakthrough came thanks to her role as the first spokeswoman for Doritos during the 1998 Super Bowl commercials. Allie Landry then had recurring roles on Felicity, Two Guys and a Girl, Sunset Beach, popular in addition to three seasons on the hit UPN network series Eve. Hopefully she came with her fig leaf. Her hosting credits include the music talk show FarmClub.com, NBC's Spy TV, and Full Frontal Fashion on WE. Then came her role as Celia in the Toronto Film Festival's big hit Bella, which I was enamored with. I really thought that was a fantastic production. We had Eduardo Verstegui on our show, and man, was he hit. Now she stars in Crescendo, of course, based on a true story, and executive produced by Justin Bieber's mom, Patti Millett, who was on our show a few weeks ago. Crescendo is set in the 18th century Holy Roman Empire, and that's how you have to say it, Holy Roman Empire, where a series of events turn an ordinary day into an extraordinary experience for a woman whose life will never be the same. Shot entirely on the Universal Studios back lot, right next to that Jaws ride, Crescendo has been globally heralded, winning numerous awards at recent film festivals. Ladies and gentlemen, on the Drew Marshall Show, that's right, it's the Doritos girl, who also goes by the nickname I Chihuahua, Allie Landry. Allie, how are you?
Well, you have made my morning already. I love that introduction. How are you?
Fantastic. Is everything sunny and warm in California? I hear it's quite nice right now.
Well, I'm glad you hear that it's nice because, you know, we went from really, really cold and the sun came out, and now we're dealing with the rain, which is very rare. But, yeah, it's raining a bit.
Okay. What's it like over in Brobridge, Louisiana, crawfish capital of the world? Do we keep in touch with that neck of the woods?
Are you kidding me? Always. Actually, my sister just shipped me a king cake in the mail.
I'm sorry. A what cake?
A king cake. It's Mardi Gras season, and the king cake represents when the three kings brought the gifts to Jesus 12 days after he was born. Hmm. And, you know, of course, they hide. Traditionally, I think it was they put a bean or a coin, and now they sort of bake in little plastic babies within the cake, and gets the baby gets good luck for the rest of the
Hold on a second.
The whole thing.
Can I just say, really? You bake a cake with plastic babies inside it?
Just one little baby baked inside. My daughter, we just cut it this morning, and she got the biggest kick out of it because she got the baby.
Did she get the head or the foot? Or, I mean, what's
the whole baby. It's a tiny, tiny little gold baby.
Oh, it's gold.
She
okay.
got the baby, yes. And I said, now you're going to have good luck for the next year. She's like, does that mean I get a lollipop right now? No.
Nice. Well done. Well, I'm glad your parenting skills have improved. So listen, let's get the story out of the way and we'll get into some good stuff here. Okay. College, you left college, you modeled for a bit, you went back to school, about to graduate, but decided to compete in Miss Louisiana. You won, then you competed in Miss USA. You won, right? Okay. Did I get that?
Right. Oh, you're so good.
Okay, but as far as I understand it, Allie, it wasn't as easy as we just made it sound. Have a listen to this clip, folks. We found where Allie really struggled with the answer to the question asked of her during the competition. Have a listen to this. It's a little embarrassing. Hope you don't mind.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries. So we will be able to build up our future.
Oh, Allie, you must have been so nervous.
First, you know, who is this?
You must have been so nervous. Were you?
Oh, you're funny. Who is this? That's crazy. Like, that's like, I couldn't imagine those kind of how did that come out of her mouth?
Have you ever seen that? That was Miss Teen USA 2007.
No, I didn't see it.
And that is probably one of the most awkward answers ever given by any human being. And of course, you know, people that are sensitive and you are going to say, oh, you know, we shouldn't make fun. But no, that's up there for a reason. That we should make fun of that. And there's two reasons we should make fun of that. Because unbeknownst to our listeners, if you were watching the video, the reality is there's actually two people on stage at that point in time who really need to be, you know, I don't know, chastised a little bit. And I won't go into who the other person is, but let's just say you know him.
Oh.
Okay, moving along. Seriously, though, Miss USA 1996, top three finalists are on stage, right? The final question comes, and I want you to listen to this question, okay? It goes like this. How would the world be different if women were judged solely on their achievements rather than their looks? Allie Landry, how would you answer this question today?
Oh, I wasn't even paying attention to that question.
Seriously?
I was waiting to hear the answer.
No. Listen, that's what they asked you. They asked you, they said, how would the world be different if women were judged solely on their achievements rather than their looks? Do you remember when they asked you that, or did you have a panic moment too?
Let me break down those moments for you.
Okay.
This is why I sort of feel for this girl. You know, you're young. I mean, this girl, she was a teenager. She was a teen, she was really young. I was actually a teen whenever I won Miss USA. You know, it's just kind of your first sort of time in front of, you know, you're in a huge, you know, stadium, and there's, you know, thousands of people there, not to mention you're on live television, and you have a microphone in front of your mouth, and you have to try to come up with something semi-intelligent.
Okay.
So I totally understand the nerves that she had, and it's really tough. I don't even remember what I said.
Well, hold on. I think we
do. I've never watched it since then, but I think I pulled it off to some, you know, certain level that I actually won.
Yes, well, here's what you said. Here's what you said.
How would the world be different if women were judged solely on their achievements rather than on their looks?
Women today, I think women have arrived in the 90s today, definitely. They are standing on the merits of their intelligence to make a change in things that they believe in. And I think they're doing a wonderful job, and I think we should commend them, because I think we have arrived.
All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, well done. Very well done, Allie.
Oh, my gosh. Just so you know, I'm sweating with embarrassment. Cannot believe you played that for me here this morning. I was not prepared for that.
Oh, wow. Well, just having a little bit of fun. I think you must be the only person on the planet who can't sing but has been offered a record deal. That's pretty amazing, right?
Well, those are some of the crazy things that happen, I think, in this business. But that was, you know, a very unique situation after the success, I guess, of that first Doritos commercial.
Yeah.
And it ranked number one on the USA Today, you know, ad meter. And it flipped my world upside down. And my friend sort of forewarned me, like, things are going to change. And the next day, I did get a call. Someone asked me if I wanted a record deal. But I cannot sing, but I thought that was really, you know, a good representation of how things can really move fast.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. And now, listen, if I was to donate some money to your favorite charity, would you sing for us right now?
No. You want me to sing? My daughter doesn't even let me sing.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
She doesn't let my husband or I sing. See, God knew who to give the blessings and the talents to. because I feel like if I could sing, I really honestly would walk around in song. Like, hello, how are you? Like, he knew not to give that one to
right,
me.
Right, right. Well, I'm glad that your house is not a scene out of Les Mis, then. That's good. Mm-hmm. Folks, the website is allielandrylife.com. Allie, you were in Sally Field's directorial debut, Beautiful, with Minnie Driver. Am I correct on that one?
That's right. That's right.
How's Sally doing? Or do you have tea every once in a while?
Well, no, I do. But I, you know, it's so great because, you know, she had a, obviously she directed that film and it was so great working with her, but to still see her, you know, on the big screen and all the accolades she's receiving from Lincoln, it's great.
What's the one thing, Allie, that you've auditioned for but didn't get that still really bugs you that you didn't get?
No, I'm not. I'm not that kind of person,
right,
actor. I think that you can so easily get caught up in all of that. You know, you go to an audition, you invest so much. I mean, you do a day of rehearsal. For me, I cannot do anything else the day I have an audition, the day before. It's like this whole thing, the whole process that I go through. But I really have always, and thank goodness, as soon as I walk out that door, I totally let it go, because at that point it's in God's hands. Like,
right,
there's nothing, you know, all I hope is that I can do a good job and leave a good impression on the casting.
Well, and I can't imagine there'd be many regrets anyway. I mean, once you play the role of a mermaid in a photo shoot, then it's all downhill from there, isn't it?
Right. Where do you go? But, you know, I am very, now, you know, my husband is a filmmaker, actually the director of Crescendo.
Mm-hmm.
He lives with us. My husband mentors him, and my husband's company produced that film as well. So to be a part of that process, as you know, they write their own projects. Of course, well, they're both directors, and their company produces. They raise all the money and everything, and then we do the marketing as well. That has been such an interesting transition and something I've really, really enjoyed a lot these past few years.
Do you think you could take all of your skills and maybe, I don't know, go back to hanging out with cockroaches, snakes, and worms? Oh, my. Celebrity Fear Factor
Fear
with
Factor.
Allie Sweeney. Wow.
Yes.
Do you still have nightmares?
No. Look, I'm very adventurous and very, very competitive. So those kind of things I do love. Like, I did another show, what was it called? Superstars, which was extreme sports competition with professional athletes. You know, one of the professional athletes like vomited during one of the races because it was really, really tough. So I like all of these kind of competitive things. You know, I climbed Mount Fuji in Japan and I ran the Boston Marathon. I like those kind of things. So that doesn't bother me.
Okay, let's go to the question that I think if you've done much Christian media, I'm not sure whether they might have the testicular fortitude to ask you about this.
Uh-huh.
But you know they're thinking it in their background. If you get onto the sort of the typical Christian media circuit, has anyone brought up the whole FHM, you and your hotness or the body, and wait a second, you're a Jesus girl, how could you do that, how could you, you know, that whole kind of thing? Or is that so far in the past that it's in the past?
No, I actually like to talk about that because people don't normally bring it up, but I do because I feel like it's part of my story. You know, I was born and raised Catholic in a small town in Louisiana, and, you know, not hugely practicing, really. I mean, we went to church, but I wasn't really in the Word or really living it, you know, walking the walk. And that sort of went into, you know, I carried that into the beginning of my career. So I got, after I won Miss USA, I'm here in Los Angeles. Very shortly after I gave up Miss USA, I did the Doritos, and everything went haywire. I never personally saw myself as that girl, you know, like taking pictures in a swimsuit. It was odd for me, but I sort of went with it, you know, naively, not even realizing, you know, how it would affect other young girls, how I would look back on it as an adult being portrayed in that way. You know, now I have a daughter. But not until I was in, you know, another relationship, we I'm sure you know about it, that and it, I ended up getting married, I found out there was infidelity. It was that relationship, I say it was the hardest thing that I've ever been through, but it has been such a blessing in my life because that is really when I started reading the Bible, and it was the only place where I got answers, because I didn't understand how someone could do that to someone else.
Right. So you're saying that being cheated on by Mario Lopez drove you to the Bible?
That drove me. It's not like I never read the Bible before, but it's where I really submerged myself in the Word. Like,
right.
You know, I think for 4 months straight, I didn't watch television. That's actually how Eduardo Verástegui and I met. I started going to a Bible study here. That's where I met my husband. I really started thinking about the consequences to my actions, how I was portrayed in media, what was I doing, what sort of image I was portraying, and everything changed for me after that. Everything changed. So that relationship was an absolute huge blessing. It was the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about, you know, that body of yours. Please bear with me while I stumble through this. But the fact that you're the Doritos girl and the FHM shoot and the whole thing. But the reality is, like, first of all, I find it hard to believe that you actually eat Doritos with that body of yours. But I also find it hard to believe that you were ever even pregnant. And now, from what I hear, the reason I say that is because now, from what I've heard and read, you're actually in better shape than you were back in Doritos days.
I think I am.
Yeah.
I think I am after the two kids.
Good for you.
I just eat better now. I mean, but I have to say, first and foremost, I am a Southern girl from Louisiana. I like my rice and gravy. I like my potato salad. I like my carbs. I like my gumbo. I like to cook. My husband's from Mexico, so we love the tacos, the tortilla, you know,
yeah,
all of that stuff. And I absolutely do not deprive myself, but it's all in moderation. You know, during the week I eat pretty healthy because that's when I'm exercising, and the weekend, or if we have a party or go to dinner, then I eat what I want, but I work out too. So,
do you still make those rose bud ice cubes?
Well, yeah, we did that for a show, Hollywood Girls Night, and yeah, I like all that stuff. I don't know if you're familiar with Pinterest, where you could kind of pin your ideas on these boards. Well, I love pinning recipes, and that's sort of where I get all my supper ideas for the house, for the family, from Pinterest.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just something about taking pictures of food that is just whack. I don't know. It's just,
no, but doesn't it make you really hungry and like, oh my gosh, I would love that for dinner tonight?
Yeah, sure. I like looking at other people's pictures of food, especially on menus of foreign restaurants that I don't understand what it actually is, and then I point to the picture and say, that's what I want. But yeah, I'm not going to put my own food up there. That's, I don't know. Because basically,
well, not your own food. Well, most of it is from, like, you know, gourmet magazines, or, you know, it's not like just random people posting their, like, spaghetti bolognese on
No, yeah, because that's exactly what I would do. I would take a picture of my Pop-Tart and put it up there.
No, it's not like that.
Okay, let's talk about the kitties for a second. Estella, boy, she's six now?
She's five.
5 years old?
Five.
And you have another one whose name I don't remember.
His name is Marcello.
Marcello, okay. How old's Marcello?
Marcello's 14 months.
Wow, good luck with that.
15 months, no. Oh, I know. It's a total difference between a girl and a boy, I have to say.
Is turning 40 going to freak you out?
No. I'm actually really, really excited about that.
Really? Really, really, really?
Really, really.
We're never,
really,
ever, ever going to get back together ever again?
Ever.
Ever. Why does turning 40, why are you so pumped about that?
I actually am pumped about it. I just feel like, you know, the past few years, 5-6 years, I'm finally, you know, I'm in a place in my life, I feel like this is exactly where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing things I'm passionate about. You know, I adore my family. I have a wonderful husband. You know, I just feel very blessed, very content, very grateful. I think I'm very healthy as well. I don't know.
Good
I just
for you.
Feel like the journey that got me here, it's sometimes been rough, but where I am now, it's just such a good place that I can only embrace 40.
Allie Landry on the phone with us. Allie Landry. And Allie, can you please tell us about the dream you had the night before you won the People's Choice Award here in Toronto?
I did have a dream about that. That was so odd. Well, you know, first, it was my husband's very first film. And it was an independent film that they produced themselves. They raised all the money. For us to be in Toronto was a big deal. We were all so excited because we did all of that grassroots marketing ourselves. Our executive producer was the executive producer of Passion of the Christ, and we sort of followed his lead and, you know, promoted it to churches and and just did the whole circuit and really had the people help us get this film out there, because the distribution companies did not know what to do with the film with, you know, no curse words, no sex scenes, just a really compelling story that made you think. They had no idea what to do with that. So for us to be at the Toronto Film Festival with these, you know, incredible directors and filmmakers and these really great projects, we really didn't think that we had a chance of, you know, even getting noticed there amongst all this talent. And once we started seeing all the people attending the screenings, and we would always wait outside, and when people would walk out the screenings, you know, they would come out and they were crying or wanted to find a filmmaker. As soon as they saw an actor, they would pull them aside and say, oh my gosh, you have no idea. Like, I haven't spoken to my dad in 10 years. I'm going to call him right now because of this movie, or this movie touched me in so many ways. You know, so to be a part of something like that is such a, it changes you in a way. And, but to win, gosh, we never thought, never thought. But the night before, it was so weird. I had this dream that we won. So I told my husband, sort of in jest, because I thought it was funny, like, you'll never guess what I had a dream about last night, that they said the winner of the People's Choice Award was Bella. And we sort of laughed, and I think he might have told someone else, and we went to the award ceremony, and sure enough, we won.
Wow.
Yeah. I hope I have that kind of dream with this next film.
But, I mean, were you sitting there going, okay, hold on a second, Brad Pitt, Penelope Cruz, Kate Winslet, mm-hmm. and Ali Landry, one of these things is not like the other, you know what I mean?
Well, I didn't even really think of it as myself, because it's really my husband's baby,
right,
you know?
Right.
I was sort of there. I was fortunate enough to play a role in the film and be a part of that whole process. And so I was just so happy for him.
Was it weird that a God movie won? I mean, were you treated weird because you were the God people from the God movie?
You know, that's what we are. Let's be, you know, straight up. I'm telling you, that is what we are. You know, we believe in God. We want to do projects, and we want to do films that ultimately inspire people and give people hope. And we're not going to do films that, you know, are anything against that. Probably you'll never see a sex scene, you'll never see a curse word, you'll never see any of that stuff. But still, we want compelling stories, and we never want a film to preach to the choir. You know, we really want to do films for the masses. So really, the story, as long as it sort of fit all of that criteria, we didn't really have any ulterior motives with it. It was really just a story. It was a story of a friend of his that he sort of came up with when he was driving, I think, from Texas to L.A. to move here. And he really wanted to write a vehicle for Eduardo to star in, because that's his business partner. And that's sort of how Bella came to be. And, you know, he always says it's not like he would ever think, this is the movie I'm going to do for my very first movie. This is what I want to be known for as a director. It's just a movie that sort of, it just came to him, and he knew he had to do it.
Yeah.
And everything just sort of fell into place. I think before there was even a script, the money was raised. Or the script was completed, the money was already raised. And then, you know, they did it. You know, they did it in New York City for $3 million, which is unheard of, to do a kind of film like this for that amount of money. It really would be much more. So everything just really fell into place. And after the fact, you know, knowing that that film, it affected so many people and so many babies were not aborted because of the film, touched so many people in so many different ways. We got to show it at the White House several times, and the National Council of Adoption sort of took that as, you know, used that as the forefront of their campaign. And it was just a wonderful ride for us. And it just really sort of confirmed all our thoughts and our goals to do projects that were in that line.
Yeah. Well, of course, speaking of that, let's segue into Crescendo. What the heck is going on with this one? It's got a momentum thing happening already.
Well, you know, Crescendo was up, you know, in the running for the Oscars, for the nominations. I mean, it went down, I think, to the second round. So, you know, it's just like one of those things. They started having a conversation. I love hearing the backstory of filmmakers. So my husband and my husband mentors Alonzo, and he's extremely talented, and it all started with the concept of, you know, a great mind that we've all known or that's made such an impact, a prodigy, a genius. What if we didn't have what they contributed to our society? What if they never existed? And then they just started doing research, and then they found the story of Beethoven and how his mother was in a horrible relationship, and she really did not want to have a child. And then from there, you know, they sort of elaborated the story with the piano sort of going in, and she ended up not aborting the baby, and it was Beethoven. And I think that's why Patty, Justin Bieber's mom, responded to the film the way she did, because she sort of felt the same way. Like,
sure,
I had Beethoven, like, you know, today's version of Beethoven, Justin Bieber, and he could easily have not existed. So, you know, it's just a powerful little film, and it just kind of came from that story. And when you see a project take off like that and really touch people's lives, that's very impactful for us. Now we're really excited about the next one. My husband's new film, we just wrapped it last year, and it's called Little Boy, and we're really hoping the same. I mean, this is a huge film. This is a $20+ million film with some really big name actors, which we're excited about.
Hold on. Let us be the judge of big name actor. Okay, who's in this one? Can you tell us?
Emily Watson.
Oh, wow.
Huge. Tom Wilkinson.
Wow.
Ben Chaplin. Kevin James. Michael Rapaport.
Wow.
You know, I mean, they've been producing projects with sort of no-name people. You know, it's like and then just knowing with the distribution to have all these actors respond to this script the way they did and agree to do it, it was a big deal for us.
You know, can I just put a little bug in your ear, and then I'll let you go? I've got one little stuck on a desert island question to finish the interview with. So that's we're going to do that next, but I want to just throw in one little plug for somebody. Can I do that? Can I just take advantage of this time I have with the one and only Ali Landry on the phone with us, folks? I will buy you a year's supply of Doritos.
Uh-huh.
If you get Candace involved in the next project, because I really like her work. Well, I like her. We're friends. Candace Cameron Bure.
Yes.
I just wanted to make an awkward moment here and get you to commit live on air. No, I'm just kidding.
Adore Candace. I mean, she's the reason why we connected. She's the reason why I'm on the show today. Yeah. I adore her. She's a wonderful girl in this business. Sort of when you feel like you're swimming against the current and you see another little fish on the side of you going the same direction.
Yep.
You know, it's empowering, you know?
Yeah.
So I absolutely adore her.
That's all. I'm just leaving it with you. That's all, okay? Subconscious little plug.
Look, I wish I had say because I would have all my friends in the films, but unfortunately, even when I was in Bella, my husband actually, you know, the producers, they wanted a really big name actress to play my role, and I had to audition.
Nice.
For the role. And fortunately, I did a good enough job in the audition that I got it, but...
Was there a washing machine in the... Was there a laundromat in the audition at all, by any chance?
No laundromat.
No. Okay.
There's a lot of crying.
Well, a lot of guys were crying when they saw that commercial a few years ago. Okay, here's the last question for you. You ready, Ali Landry?
Gosh. I guess.
What?
You make me nervous with these questions.
Oh,
Let's
stop.
See.
I'm just Canadian.
Desert Island. Let's go.
I'm just Canadian. If you were stuck on an island...
Yeah.
If you were stuck on an island for the rest of your life, would you rather be stuck with Nicole Richie, Maria Shriver, Jessica Simpson, Jessica Alba, the Kardashians, Selma Blair, all as one group, or Oprah?
Oh, God, this is a really, really, really hard one.
Thank you very much.
It's a good one because you had me when you said Maria Shriver. I love Maria Shriver. I like a lot of those other girls, but I really admire Maria, and I love Oprah. I think all the girls would keep it really entertaining, for sure, but it would be a lot of drama. I'm thinking of those reality shows. So I'm going to go with Oprah.
Oh, wow. Wow, you just kicked all your friends to the curb for Oprah. I can't believe you did that. Man, well, have you had a chance? I know that if you know, if there was no Jesus, you'd worship Oprah. But have you had a chance to meet her yet?
You know, I did. I was on her show before. Yeah.
Good. Good. Well, I just, that's all I want. That's all I care about is your happiness. Okay.
Yes. Made me very happy.
Listen, Allie, I wish you the best. And folks, I want you to creep online this movie, Crescendo. Do what you can. Support it. Find it. Write them. Bring them to your, I don't know how, what you're doing with distribution and whether people can bring it up this way or write theaters or whatever.
Yep,
find a local theater. Go see it, right? There's a whole bunch of things
absolutely.
You can do. AllieLandryLife.com is the website. AllieLandryLife.com. What a pleasure to chat with you.
So nice to chat with you on this Saturday.
On this Saturday. Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Allie Landry. Bye. Oh, boy. That was fun.
Putting the asthmatic in charismatic, you're listening to Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign? Well, what if we gave you a show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative advertising concept for the small business owner or charity. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us one show at a time. Consider sponsoring one show and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, including a live phone interview. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. If you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Go to drewmarshall.ca for details or call Joy 1250 on 905-845-2821, extension 367. That's 905-845-2821, extension 367.